podcast. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast. As That's you right. can see, we yeah. have a fellow comedian in the
what?
House. A dynamite host.
Yes.
Show producer.
Say something.
Actor.
Yep.
Pro wrestler.
That's right.
Got father.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I left out anything, I do apologize. Lex Vegas, y'all.
Yeah. That was enough, man. I was looking around like, who the hell else about to come on this show, man? We ain't got no room. We already shoulder to shoulder up in here.
Who else you about to bring up here? And the star of the Lex Vegas.
I mean, come on, man. That's a given, baby.
Show producer, yeah. Lex Vegas show.
I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yes, pleasure, sir. Man. As always.
Absolutely.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Lex Vegas on Facebook. That's LEXXVEGAS. You can find me on Instagram at Lex Taught Me. You can find me on Twitter at LexV520. You can find me at your baby mama crib, stealing your kids' snacks.
Ooh.
You know, the typical.
We nice. Like fruities.
You can find fruities. Me on the Midnight Paco Podcast right now.
For sure. For sure.
Worldwide.
Yeah, hey. I mean, I think it's safe to say, you know, he's definitely a friend of the show. This ain't
definitely
his first rodeo.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
First rodeo. He's been on here and he's welcome to come back anytime.
Yes, sir.
Man, don't tell me that, yes, man, because y'all always got fools, so I might be back tomorrow.
Yeah,
but you every know, time I come up here, y'all got fool, man.
You know, it's pizza.
It's food. It's food. I'm a bachelor. We live off pizza.
Look, I tell you this, man, if we ever get to a point where we just rocking, I'll just cook. And I ain't got to work all day long. I'll cook. I have meals.
Cause I witnessed what was meals. It? I think I had this cheesesteak sandwich, which was the bomb. And the only other thing I can say was good was his fudge.
What? Pause.
Yeah, pause. Yeah, pause on that. But his fudge was good.
The tacos.
Was those yours or your wife's, bro?
I mean, that's the wife's, but I cooked the same.
He's not even going to say. Okay. How you gonna take credit for your wife's tacos, man?
I mean,
no.
Mm-mm. I helped cook. Mm-mm. I helped.
That's what you do. You chopped up the tomatoes, didn't you? That's what you did. He said he helped. He chopped up the tomatoes
and the avocados.
And he preheat the stove. He don't.
And he did the shells.
I definitely did that.
That's all I saw.
I did the shells.
So
either way, yeah, you're right. Those were the wives. Either way, I can cook.
Hey, man, do your thing, man.
But we're trying to get. Any sponsors, so if you want to send some food.
Roger that. Lex Vegas, what's been going on, man?
Man, whole lot of everything, man. Same. A lot of everything. Staying busy, man. Staying positive. Staying, keeping my name on people's brains. You know, putting shows together. We got a show tomorrow night. We got a show next night. We got a show the night after that.
Nice.
You know, staying up and down the roads, you know, starting to book in other cities. Yeah, it's a journey right now.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. Nah, I appreciate it, man.
It's fun. It's a grind, but
it's definitely a lot of work. It's definitely a lot of work, man. But the spoils are worth the work that you put
in. Yeah. So you know what? I want to pick your brain, and because this is the big thing. You like you're a big show producer. You know, you put on shows, a lot of shows. Talk about that promoting.
I mean, dude,
because look, that's the biggest thing. When you try and put on shows, try and get crowds to shows. Because let's keep it real. When you're putting on a show, you don't expect comedians to bring people. It's cool. It helps.
I'm not going to say I expect it, but I hope for it.
You hope for it, but let's keep it real. We've dealt with how many comedians, and I'm one of them. I, there's a lot of time. I just, because a lot of people, you know, let's keep it real, support, but it ain't always where you think, and not everybody shows up, but,
well,
you know, so.
I would say that I make sure that I do things differently than a lot of people are doing. Like, I do a different kind of show. So at least, you know, you got something that you're going to miss.
Right.
You know, we do, I do an event called Up in Smoke, which is a 420 friendly, you know, show, but it's a venue where you can smoke inside while you're doing a comedy show. You know, we have, our food vendors, they do infused food. So, you know, and you can have a good time there, but we also do, I do a monthly showcase where I do a free showcase.
Okay.
So, you know, for those comics that got, you know, families that may not have, you know, the ticket money or something, well, they can come see you for free.
Right.
You know, and I put together really good shows. It's not like I'm just putting in some schmoes from the street.
No, yeah,
you know,
no,
these are
yeah.
comics that have traveled, you know, the country and even some of the world.
Right.
You know, and they're coming to do a show for you for free. And all you gotta do is show up and enjoy yourself. You know, and I do that so you can there's a balance.
Right.
You know, yes, we do have shows that we charge for. Then there are shows that we, you know, we let you in for free. But you're going to get a quality show from Lex Vegas no matter where you're showing up. As far as the promotion of it, I try to think like a fan. So, and when I say that, I try to think if I was a fan and I was going to this show, What would I want to see?
What would you want to see?
What would I want to see? Well, how would I want them to act? How would I want this show to go? How would I want to? And so I try to put that together, thinking of the people that are going to be sitting in the audience watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just for me, because I figured out a long time ago, comedy is subjective.
Right.
You know, I may not think that you're funny, but that does not mean you're not funny.
Right.
You weren't funny to me.
Right.
Because your humor didn't resonate with me.
Right.
But there's 100 other people that think you're funny as hell.
Right.
So I gotta think like them, not like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'm thinking like them, okay, well, they think this dude is funny, so put him on.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you know, things like that. And just try to give people something that they feel like they're gonna miss. Like, if I don't go to Unapologetic, I'm gonna miss something great.
Right.
If I don't go to Up in Smoke, I'm gonna miss something dope.
Right.
It's not just, and I feel like the comics give, I've said this a lot, comics give people too many options.
Yeah.
How so?
A lot of the comics, you see they put up these graphics.
Mm-hmm.
These are cool seashells for December.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a whole list of shows that you're going to be doing this month. So what that does is it gives people too many options, because now you're looking at it and I say, okay, well, I'm going to go see Justin on Friday. He got a show on Friday. Then Friday comes and I really don't feel like going. So you know what? I saw his thing. He got another one next week, so I just catch that one.
Yeah,
and
right.
then when that one comes, something else happened.
Yeah.
But he got like two or three. I saw him on there. So I'm like, no, I want you to focus on this show. Yeah. I may be working on 6-7 shows. I'm promoting two of them.
Yeah.
Because I want you to focus on these next two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not giving people too many options, and people are lazy to a fault by nature. And it's not even a bad thing.
Right.
But how many times have you said, like, okay, I'm gonna go to this thing on Friday. Today is Sunday.
Right.
There's an event on Friday. I'm going. And then now you done had a bad week.
Right.
Friday comes, you done had a bad day at work. The kids acting up, the car been acting. Now you gotta go home, shower, change clothes, drive across town, park, go into a venue. You know, you don't feel like it.
Right.
That's because you're lazy to a fault.
Now
I want to give you something that, yeah, I don't really feel like it, but I might miss this, if you know, and I don't know if this is going to come around again, so let me go. When you give people, you done told them where you're going to be for the next umpteen weeks.
Right.
Now they have options. You know what? I ain't even about to do it. I'll go to the next one.
I
hate that. As a promoter, I absolutely hate it. I understand it because comics want to look like they're busy. They want to look like, you know,
touring,
I'm booked
comics
and busy. Everybody's putting out these graphics. Everybody's booked and busy. I want to look booked and busy too. So let me put up this graphic. But now you're giving people too many options and they're not showing up to half of them.
Right.
I get it.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, it'd be different if you were in like Ohio.
Yeah.
PA.
If you're doing different states and everything, or even different cities,
Florida.
Fine.
Yeah.
You know, but when you got four shows and they're all in one city, what is making me come to these first three?
Right. Right.
You know, I might come to the last one only because I see this last one. So now I'm gonna miss something.
Right. Yeah.
But what is making me come to these first three? Nothing.
Yeah.
So it changed the direction just a little bit, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know that you got a reputation in the city of doing dope shows. I've been to several of Lex Vegas shows. You get a nice show. A lot of that is on the venue,
absolutely,
their participation.
Absolutely.
You got to have like an agreement with the owner of the venues,
mm-hmm,
with as far as the TVs and
absolutely
crowd control and in the promotion and things like that.
Yep.
But it sounds like to me, and I know you, you know, you dibbled and dabbled, but it sounds like you got bit hard by the comedy bug a little bit, man.
Mm-hmm. Bit hard. Yeah. I can't really. I think it was one of those like when something just keeps falling into place in the right places, you got to roll with it.
Okay.
And I'm not knocking it or anything, but like it was never my intention to get into comedy. Like I had to
really
be pushed to get into comedy. It really was. And I'll say that like and I'll shout out my little I call him my big little brother, Timbuktu.
Shout out.
You know, who is also the producer of my show. Tim told me forever, like, dude, you gotta get on stage, man. You're naturally funny. You gotta get on stage. And I'm like, man, that's y'all thing. Mm-hmm. I'm cool. I used to tell you all the time, I'm cool being behind the scenes, you know, making sure that everything is running right, making sure everybody's having a good time. I'm cool with that. But and it just they just kept pushing and pushing and being around you guys. You know, that are all doing comedy.
Okay.
And it was like, so I just thought, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it one time because I'm doing a show for my birthday. I was doing a comedy show on my birthday. And I said, since it's my birthday, it makes sense for me to go on and get on stage. And the very first time I did 15 minutes. Like, whoa, I don't know why.
Wow. That's pro time.
Right. And I, you know, and it turned into a thing. Like, it, and what made me realize that I was funny, honestly, because it took me a while to accept the fact that I was funny. Like, I didn't think I was funny or like that. I just thought I was, you know, people just laugh because I'm Lex Vegas. But what made me realize I was funny is when my mother told me I was funny.
What?
My mom came to one of my shows and nice. she was like, I'm actually surprised. You are actually very funny. And that told me.
Cause that's the biggest compliment, huh?
Because mom's going to tell you the truth. Yeah, my mom, yeah. I tell her every time, even on stage, I tell people, my mom is a gangster. You know, my mama would tell you, my mom be like, don't do that again. Do not embarrass the family. Keep doing, get your ass back in the ring or something. You know, don't. You know, mom. So when moms told me I was funny, that's when I was like, okay. I can do this.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to moms, Mama Vegas, baby.
I mean, so how has it been then? Like, cause you was just hosting, right?
Yeah. It's been busy. Yeah. It only takes one. It takes one time for everything to sprout for you.
Yes.
And my one time, you know, that old cliche where they say if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
You don't have to get ready.
Yeah.
So you know, I've been doing, you know, shows here and there, and then one day, I was sitting at work. It was a Saturday, and I get a call, and I looked at my call ID, and it said Fort Wayne Comedy Club. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking maybe it's like, you know, they're calling me, you know, to solicit some tickets or whatever. I ain't paying no attention. And they called me and they said, hey, Lex, do you want to come perform at the Fort Wayne Comedy Club in Indiana? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, tonight. I'm like, damn.
Ooh, damn.
And so, and at the time, it was about 1:30 in the afternoon. They told me I needed to be in Indiana by 6, which is like a 3.5-hour drive.
I thought it was more like
and I didn't get off work till 2.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that left me like a 30-minute window.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, fine. So I went down, and when I got, you know, and they told me, you know, we want you to come down and do 15 minutes. I said, okay, fine. You know, now, you know, I feel like 15 minutes ain't hard for me now, you know. So I'm like, okay, you know, fine. So the whole way down there, I'm, you know, putting a 15-minute set together in my head. So I get there, you know, I check in, and they pull me to the side about 10 minutes later, like, hey, Lex, we need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's up? We had somebody cancel, so we need you to do 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, you know, I can put 20 another 5 minutes here. About 15 minutes go by, they're like, Lex, we need to talk to you again.
Oh,
I'm like, what, man? I'm thinking they about to cancel the show or something.
Yeah.
We need you to close the show. We need you to headline. We need 30 minutes.
What?
I literally had 10 minutes to put a 30-minute set together.
Oh, whoa. Lord.
And I did it, and nice. I didn't even realize I did it. Like
nice.
I was just going. Like I was just, and in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm pulling out like every joke
everything.
I never wrote.
Everything.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, because none of these people have ever heard
nothing.
This before.
Right.
So
yeah.
You know, and I'm just going, and I don't realize how, and I'm just going, and
nice.
You know, and I ended up doing, I want to say it was like 38 minutes.
Whoa. Congratulations.
And after that, when people saw, like, you know, okay, he went and he headlined the Fort Wayne Comedy Club, which is a very prestigious comedy club,
then,
you know, people were like, okay, we want you here. We want you
Look,
here. We
I
want
don't
you
care
here.
If it's prestigious anywhere, dude. Like, to show up and just, like, fuck, okay. Yeah, I mean, because in your mind, you put something together,
yeah.
Like you said, and then you get there and, like, okay, I got that. Okay. Like you said, you pull.
I pull everything out. I'm like jokes. The first jokes I ever wrote. Yeah. You know, and that's what they told me. They said, you know, first off, we're impressed that you know you came on such short notice.
Right.
You know, and then they said and to be able to, you know, at the last minute, like I literally had 10 minutes to put a 30-minute set together, and I was like, all right, I need to be by myself for a second, right, and I went off in the corner and just doing another, and I'm just in my head, and once I hit the stage, I just start going.
Nice.
You know. And after that, it's just skyrocketing, man. It's everybody's calling, you know. Everybody wants to do a show. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. And I'm here for it.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what's up. Nice. That's
so it was like, all right. I like to get to the roots of things sometimes, you know. Like sometimes. A lot of times. Okay, all the time. I like to get to the roots of things. But it's like, okay. The hosting, the putting the shows together, the wrestling. It's safe to say that there's a dopamine that's released that you might be addicted to. Like, you know what I'm saying? As far as like the audience response and things like that.
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. Well, one of the things.
His name is Lex Vegas.
Mr. AKA.
Word.
But one of the things, one time I had my grandfather on my show, on my radio show.
Okay.
And it was Thanksgiving. I tricked him. I just told him I was taking him to the radio station with me. I didn't tell him he was going to be my guest.
Whoa.
So, but we got to talking, and one of the things that he reminded me of was he said on my show, like live on the air, he said you were born into entertainment.
Wow.
You know, my father in the late 70s, early 80s was a blues singer. Mm-hmm. My father released a national record called Ghetto Boy. Okay. It was a big record back then. You know, my uncle.
Is it available on Spotify?
I have the record now. Where it's available, I have no idea.
Okay.
But I have the record in my car, actually.
Nice.
And my uncle. God rest his soul. Both him and my father passed, but my uncle was a original member of the Daz Band.
Who's your uncle?
His name was William Thomas.
William.
Mm-hmm. You know, so they. I grew up, and then my brother. He was a manager of a rap group called Grown Black. Coming up. You know, where some of my cousins were in. So I was always around music. Yeah. I was always around something. Right. I was always in the studio with somebody. Like, I was 12 years old in the studio at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay, listening to these guys record albums and things like that.
Yep.
So it was always in me to do something as far as entertainment goes.
Right.
Now, I've been through, you know, the music. I've been through the pro wrestling. This and that. I've you know, been on TV. We've acted. You know, things like that. Been on, you know, TV shows. And now it's like, you know, the comedy is coming so natural that I don't think I probably, even if I wanted to stop it, I don't think I could.
Right.
You know, because it's there and makes sense.
It's so much fun.
It is.
Think about it. When you go and do a show and there's a crowd, I'm talking about when there's a crowd.
Crowd.
As you know, it's so much fun because you're up there just talking about your life and they're just laughing along with you. You know what I mean? You're presenting in a way. It's so much fun.
It is. Yeah. One of the things I say, I think the hardest thing that people don't realize about comedy is that I have to make you laugh at something that I think is funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to figure out how to tell it to you to make it seem funny to you. Yeah. Right. Just because it's funny to me doesn't mean it's funny to you. Right. So I have to say it in a way that's going to make you, like, first off, follow where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
And then once I get to the punchline, you're like, oh, that is funny. Right. You know, just because I think it's funny doesn't mean that you do. So now I have to figure that out. And I don't know if you're going to think it's funny until I tell you this. And I'm going to tell you this in front of a whole lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's definitely the case because, you know, a lot of times what brings people together as friends is because normally they make each other laugh.
Absolutely.
Right.
And sometimes you have to turn those personal jokes into so people can universally understand them and laugh at them. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Not at all.
So the hosting, and so you got an idea of like what you feel is a good show and what you would want to see, like you said, as a fan's perspective,
mm-hmm,
which is a dope way to look at it.
Yeah.
So, and then by looking at it that way, I mean, I've said on the prior shows that you and I, we kind of think similar.
Absolutely.
We're looking at it that way. It's like, you know what you want to see, and you also been to shows that you be like, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Lex would never.
Yeah,
right. We will sit back. We will sit back in the back and see, and something will happen on the show, and Lex would never.
Yeah.
Lex would never.
I mean, I pulled Cordell's shit the other night. I'm sitting there. I'm like, hey, this.
Yeah, he called me. He was like, yeah, he don't have no lights. I mean,
but he worked on it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you talking about my performance?
No, I'm talking about with Shout out to Hendo.
Shout out to Hendo. Yeah. Shout out to Hendo, baby.
He's got his room down there in Akron.
I love Hendo, man. Yeah. Hendo, I'm gonna say this publicly on y'all show, man. Hendo is one of the hustlingest comics I've ever met in my life. You know what I'm saying? Before I even knew who Hendo was, Hendo used to hound me about putting him on a show. Really? Like, I didn't really know him, and I kind of brushed him off at first. You know, he would call and he'd be like, "Hey, when I'm gonna," I'd be like, "I'll talk to you later. I got so much to do. Let's talk next week." Yeah. And then the next week he will call, and then I'll be like, "Look, I'm busy right now. Hit me up in 2 days." 2 days go by. Here come Hendo. You know what I'm saying? And I gained a respect for him for that, because Hendo, when he wants to get with you, he's gonna get with you.
Yeah.
And Hendo is, you know, he's gonna show up. And when you tell Hendo to show up, Hendo's gonna be there. Hendo's there early. Yeah. He is there ready. He's prepared. I rocks with Hendo.
Yeah. He has a nice spot. He's down Hendo's there. It's called Exchange Exhale or Exhale Lounge. Mm-hmm. Exhale Hookah Lounge. I got it all wrong. Exhale Hookah Lounge. But it's dope, man. It's a nice spot. You know what I'm saying? So it's he's trying to get a room down there going. You know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Man.
And it's growing pains. We're gonna support him. It's growing pains. It's like,
but he took no, and there was like he had a lot of things, but it's like more promotion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Besides that, you have to build a name for yourself,
right?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, you know, rooms. Look at how many rooms come and go. And I kind of think that's what sets me apart from a lot of people. And it's no disrespect to anybody. But just think, let's just say the last 3 years. How many comics have started their own rooms, have had their own shows, and it may last 3 months at the most, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Right.
You know, because it's not easy. People don't realize it is not easy.
It's not
easy for one to put on a show and then to consistently put on a show month after month after month.
Or every week.
And keep people coming to see you and keep people following it. It's not an easy thing.
No.
So, but everybody thinks they can do it.
Right.
So when you start off, and people, especially if they don't know that you're doing this, you're not used to having your own room and everything.
Right.
People will wait, especially black people. Let's just say people, especially black people, will wait until other people have sampled it, and then they may go. Oh, so you've been out to such and such spot? How was it?
Right.
You know, they're gonna wait for the recommendation before they go try it themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See what I tell people, and I'm gonna ask y'all this on y'all show, and y'all can debate on this between y'all. You tell me the last thing a black man discovered besides the peanut, and I'll wait. Okay, we ain't got that kind of time. But you ain't gonna figure
it out.
Other
than the gas mask and the traffic light?
No, because those are inventions. I said discovery.
Discovery.
See, the thing is, we don't try shit out first. We don't get close enough to stuff that we don't know what it is, figuratively and in real life. You know what I'm saying? If we don't know that something is gonna work, we're gonna wait till somebody else tries it, and then we're gonna see how it works for them, and then we're going to move on it. You understand what I'm saying? We don't get close enough to where we're gonna say, you know what? I got this idea. Ain't nobody doing it like this, but I'm gonna make it happen. There aren't too many of us that are gonna do that. Lex Vegas does.
There's people out there.
I said not too many. I didn't say none. But okay, cool. So you see what I'm saying? You get an idea and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna execute this idea.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Right. But I get what you're saying.
There are not a lot of people who do it. They'll say, okay, I'm gonna let Cool C do it, and I'm gonna see what happens with his.
And then I'm gonna
see what I can do with it.
Right.
Definitely.
You know.
Right.
And that's why I said we don't discover things.
No.
We don't discover shit.
That's a weird way of saying.
If you think about it, I am 100% right. It's gonna be 2:00 in the morning. You're gonna be laying up in the bed ain't no black man really discovered nothing, man. Like, ain't nobody, because we don't try nothing. If we don't know what it is, we're not trying it. You have never been the first person to try anything.
You know what the problem is? I've known there's so many things been swept under the rug that somebody probably did discover it and it's just been whitewashed.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. We'll invent the hell out of some shit.
That's what the world's taught me. The traffic light,
the gas mask, all that. Jerry curl.
Airplane.
You know what I'm saying? We'll invent all of that shit. Because we can sit there and we can put it together. We can do it on our time. But we don't discover. If I don't know if this is regular water or if this came from some type of a mineral spring or if this came out of a volcano, I'm not touching it. You drink it and let me know how it tastes.
There ain't too many people out there discovering anything.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying.
I follow you. I know what you're saying. You are correct.
But I take that into throwing shows, too.
Yeah.
You got to have your own niche.
Oh,
because otherwise, because think about it, most 95%, and this is, like I said, no disrespect to anybody, but 95% of comedy shows are the same. You got four or five comics and a host, and y'all just running through a lineup, and you got people getting on stage, getting off stage, telling jokes, and then they leave.
Right, right.
There's no niche to it. So if I don't catch Cool C on this show, I'm going to just catch him the next time. It's the same thing.
Right.
Now, when I give you Up in Smoke, when I'm giving you a free pre-roll when you come through the door,
right?
When I'm telling you, when these comics get on stage, you light up. The higher you are, the funnier they are. When I'm telling you, you go see my food vendor, when you go see Next Level Catering in the front, they're going to serve you either some regular food or they're going to serve you some food that's going to have you high for the next 3 days.
Right, right.
I've had people call me and tell me I ain't never been high off no macaroni and cheese in my life. You know what I'm saying? But this is what I'm saying. This is an experience that you're going to get at my show. And if you miss it, you're not going to get this again until I do it again.
Until you do it again.
Right. Okay?
So exclusively for the Lex Vegas.
Absolutely. Because now I've invented that path. You know, you tell me another before Lex Vegas did it. You tell me another 420 friendly comedy show in the city of Cleveland.
Can't think of one.
Lex Vegas opened that path. You know what I'm saying? Now you can do that. You can. There are other shows that are pulling up. They're not quite Lex Vegas shows, but they're doing their own thing. Yeah. But I opened that path. I opened that door to show you like it can be done.
Oh yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah.
Some people might have thought about doing it,
mm-hmm.
but didn't know how to do it.
Right.
That's when I say you won't approach it.
Right.
You won't approach it because you're not familiar with it.
Right.
Me, I'm like, okay, we got a venue that will allow us to smoke inside. It's a very nice lounges. I do my Up and Smoke at Lounges downtown Cleveland. And Lounges is a beautiful place inside. There's artwork on the wall. There's swings that you can sit. People want
to
take.
How often are they done in case someone wants to check
that
out?
I'm there. I got one this Friday, August the 1st. And I'm there every other month. You know, I tell people all the time, make sure you got that shit on because you will want to take photos in there. You are going to want to take pictures in there. You know, it's a very nice place. And then you go in and you can sit down. You can relax. You can smoke. You can drink. We got a bar. You got food. We got, you know, we got Lowe's. They grow their own marijuana and they sell their products and everything in there. You know what I'm saying? So if you didn't bring anything, you can get some from them legally. And you can do this without it being any bull. You ain't never heard of there being any bull at a Lex Vegas show. You know, you ain't never heard nobody, you know, comics may get into it over stage time or whatever, but that's between that. But you ain't never heard somebody got beat up, somebody got robbed, none of that, because we don't play. It's a chill environment.
Right, right.
Nice.
And it's something that I invented.
Nice.
I'm talking my shit.
There you go. Y'all heard it here on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
Midnight Paco Podcast.
All right, that's dope. Nice. So have you thought about like moving that, like going on tour with that?
I've actually been, there's been people from other cities that have asked me to bring Up and Smoke to their city.
Okay.
It's not as simple as it would sound.
No, it's
one
not.
One thing is because Up and Smoke, Up and Smoke is a brand in itself.
Yeah.
We, like I said, we have a very beautiful venue, so I can't just do it anywhere.
Oh, no, you
know what I'm saying? This wherever I do it has to be comparable to Lounges.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be the same kind of vibe there. I can't just do it because if we're gonna do it, then I got to do a whole different show.
Yep.
And that defeats the purpose.
Yep.
But if I'm gonna bring Up and Smoke, I have to bring Up and Smoke. I have to uproot it from here and put it here.
Yeah.
And plus, it depends on what the law. of that stadium.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been approached about doing one in Chicago next year. We're actually putting together a big Juneteenth event in Chicago. Shout out to my sponsors for Up in Smoke, Jason Wayne, right in the tire shop. We got Global Air, who I've been working with. Shout out to TV the Artist. Shout out to my boy David Grayson. We got a big team that we're working on. We got Sprinkle Confections. We're just doing from city to city. Like I said, we've been approached by Chicago, Los Angeles, Atlanta. I just booked a show in Philly. It's not an Up and Smoke show, but it's you know, a show that I'm actually be producing in Philly. So we're growing.
Yeah, that's nice, man. That's what's up. I like seeing people fucking make a move.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Got to,
Yeah, I like that, that's real dope. So, what about the, you know, you breezed past it. We discussed it in the prior show, but you breezed past you being a pro wrestler. Let the people know where they can find some of those matches at.
It's all over YouTube.
What was your name?
It was Lex Vegas. It was still Lex Vegas. It's never changed. I'm the same guy no matter what I'm doing. But it's all over YouTube. Lex Vegas Wrestling. The Commission was my tag team. Shout out to my boy Jackson Cade, who AKA Crochet Jackson. He actually right now he has a trivia night that he hosts out in Rocky River at the Market every Wednesday. So shout out to him. But me and him, we were up and down the roads. We actually did a couple of matches for Ring of Honor.
Okay.
A few times on TV, a couple of times.
Nice.
I wrestled for 14 years. It was just something I didn't, and I'm glad I'm not doing it no more.
Yeah, but that's
my body thanks me.
Yeah, right.
That's so I want y'all to know he was doing it, though.
Yeah.
Like, he was off the top rope. He was in the air.
Chairs and shit. Tables.
He was doing it.
It's all very documented. It's all on YouTube. Like I said, you can find
myself.
I ain't never do all that. Come on, it's the moneymaker right here, baby. This is the moneymaker. We ain't cutting nothing. We ain't cutting nothing, but we trimming these up, getting a little lineup or something.
Hey. So if the situation was right, how long do you think it would take for you to be like, I can go full fledged one more game? I'm talking about the stuff that you was doing, like in the air and off the ropes.
Physically, not long. It would just be a matter of getting my body used to feeling that way again. Dude. But mentally, I'm not sure. I literally just went to a wrestling event out in Akron. Shout out to my young boy Ray Stewart. He was on this show with a couple of other guys that I, you know, was in the business with, and I wasn't doing nothing, so we decided to go out there, and I'm watching it, and I'm just like, I'm like, nah. You know, my body does not miss hitting the mat. My body does not miss hitting the ropes. My body does not miss.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a mental thing, really. Like, I just really I get the same thrill.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it may be, you know, hearing a crowd cheer or whatever, but I get the same thrill from being on stage doing comedy or, you know, doing my radio show that I got, you know, from being in the ring, minus the physical part of it.
100%.
Right. No, I get it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because once upon a time, I was thinking to myself, because, you know, I've actually seen some of these guys, like, this was years ago, I saw Steve Nash and, God rest his soul, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, I guess he was going by. And those dudes was like, broke up.
Yeah.
I mean, they was walking, but they was performing that night. You don't see, you don't see that side of it until you like see them like before the match and things like that.
It's like this. Have you ever showed up to do a comedy set, but you were in a bad mood?
Oh, 100%. A lot of
times. 100%. But the crowd doesn't see it.
No.
Because when you get on stage and it's time for you to perform, you're going to perform.
Yeah.
You
correct.
Know, so all of this, all I'm feeling right now, my back hurting, my head hurting, my stomach hurting, whatever, I can't think about that right now.
Game time.
Right. Because people have paid money to come see me perform.
Right.
They're not going to care that I don't feel well.
Right.
They're not going to care that my leg hurts or my knee.
Right.
You know, so I got to deal with that afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. But for the next, when I hit that ring, just like when I hit that stage, for the next 15 minutes or however long I'm out there, I'm 100%.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, that's the, I mean, you're locked in, basically.
Yeah, you're locked in.
And that adrenaline goes. So you ain't feeling that pain anyway.
Most of the time,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I've once I went to dive, I was in the ring, and there were five guys outside the ring. And I went to run across the ring and dive over the ropes onto these guys. And somehow they were used to me flying really far when I would do this. Oh, well, this one time they were standing so close to the ring, so I decided to jump up and come down. They all moved back.
Oh, fuck.
And I smacked the ground.
Oh,
I went chest first and smacked the ground. And the adrenaline made me jump right back up.
Pop right back up. Like,
and, you know, and I'm running around and I'm fine. As soon as I stopped running.
Ouch.
It was over with. I literally told my partner, I said, you got to finish the match. Whatever we had going on, you got to finish the match. I'm done.
Wow.
You know, and I got out, and by the time we got back to the locker room, I could barely stand up. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Because you got to realize I came from 10 feet up in the air and hit a solid gymnasium
wall. Surprised. How much were you? How much did you weigh?
I was probably about 269.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't knock the wind out.
I'm surprised you didn't crack a rib.
Like I said, it was just I hit it so hard and I jumped right back up because the adrenaline was there. Yeah. But once that adrenaline wore off, I was in so much pain.
You weren't black and blue on your chest.
I just landed and I just jammed, but it was what it was, you know?
I know, but the next like, week.
Oh, I was done. I ain't doing nothing else for the rest of the week.
Breathe and sneeze and.
It hurt it to blink.
Oh, my Lord.
No, but it's that's like something that I thought about. Like, you know, like, is it worth it? You know, you got merch out, you got action figures out.
And, yeah.
You know,
I do like that, by the way.
You know, it's like. It could be a Lex Vegas sun faded, you know, cut out somewhere in somebody's window. Like
it might be. It might be
like this in his goddamn job.
It might be
sun faded somewhere on with his onesie on.
Yeah, sun faded.
I'm gonna tell you, like that was one of the hardest. Hell yeah, all the time.
Hell yeah, he's like standing like this. Like,
one of the hardest things for me to get used to was people knowing me and I didn't know them.
Oh,
like that was one. Wow. But I'm so good at faking it. Like me and my girl were at a basketball game once, and we walk up to the stand, and you know, to buy some food or whatever. And this guy behind the stand knows me, and he's like, "Lex, what's up? I ain't seen you in a minute." And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on? I ain't seen you neither, man. How you been?" We walk away. I'm like, I have no idea who that guy was.
I've been there.
I have no idea.
It be like
and
that.
They have like, you know, they have t-shirts and stuff. I'm like, I don't even have that t-shirt anymore.
Right.
Like, how long have you had that?
Right.
No, you gave it to us. We got it when you was in Michigan and Flint. I'm okay, cool.
Wow.
Nice.
No, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Think about now with comedy attitude.
It happens now too. Like I said, like,
and all you know, that.
I saw you on TV, man. I saw you on Heroin Ad, man. I saw you on Amazon. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Wait a minute. Yeah, let's talk about the Heroin Ave.
Yeah.
He had two, looked like 45s. 45s got 89 shots. This dude never ran out of bullets. Let's talk about it.
I did what the script told me to do. Okay. I got clowned so much. It was certain things because we had to. Okay, so first off, Heroin Ave was the dopest thing ever for me because that was the first time I'd actually been on a TV show.
No, yes, sir.
And there was a small budget for Heroin Ave, and we had to do a lot of improv.
Yeah.
So there was a scene where we were in a shootout in this alley. And I run, and the screen said, make sure you go to the left because of how the camera angle is.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to the left, the only thing over there is some plastic garbage cans. And I'm ducking behind these cans, and everybody like, dude, you're in a shootout, and you're ducking behind some plastic. I'm like, that's what they told me to do. Shit. Like, it was, you know, it was one of those, but it was so much fun, man. It was a lot of, like, comics that I, you know, was rocking with at the time.
Right.
It was a lot of Timbuktu was in there.
Yeah.
The boy, Jamal McWhorter, who else? It was so many people in there. Keith Silly was in there.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to Raymel Adams. He put it together. Shout out to Amy Wagaman, our camera lady. We had just so much fun. And my cousin, CEO.
Yeah.
Shout out to Casino.
Yeah, yeah,
shout
out to CEO.
He even snuck up in there, and everything. And you know, it was a lot of, I met a lot of people through there that I'm still, you know, in contact with, you know.
No, it was super dope. I just wanted to give you some crap about it.
Oh, no. I understand. It was a lot of things that I look back at it now, like, what the hell were we doing?
I mean, this dude was busting like,
To be fair, that's in...
I killed like 9 people in heroin there.
To be fair, that's in Hollywood movies.
It is.
You're like, come on, man. You know you ran out of bullets. The only one that changes this clip properly is John Wick. He's the only one.
Like, yeah, we had like mini shootouts. And I, like I said, in 5 episodes, I killed 9 people. I counted. And I beat the crap out of 3 more.
See? That was dope, man. It was cool to see you in there.
Absolutely, man. I had a lot of fun, man. I definitely had a lot of fun on Heroin Ave. Heroin Ave is still on YouTube, man. So go check that out, man. Heroin Ave. And it's on YouTube Stash. It's on Tubi. And it's on a couple of other streaming spots, too. But make sure y'all check that out, man. Let me know what you think about it.
Right. No, so, go ahead. I was just saying, it's cool to, you know, be out there like that. Huh?
Absolutely, man. I try to put my hand in whatever. You never know what's gonna take off for you.
Yeah. You know? That's the one thing.
So you not finished? You open to doing more acting?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, man. I'm doing a audiobook right now.
Okay.
With the Never Outdone podcast. Okay. We're working on an audio book. It's actually a mini movie, but it's all audio. So I'm dipping my hand in that. We're working on, you know, a couple of other, I've been sent a couple scripts, for a couple of TV shows and a couple movies actually that I'm, you know, looking over to see, you know, what's a good fit and everything like that. We just finished shooting an Amazon Prime special for comedy, you know, so that's giving us more TV time. You know, so the acting is definitely on the horizon.
And I'm going to put this out here again. Every time he on the show, I'm going to keep putting it out here. Sunglasses, he sponsored this dude.
I need my cut too.
Yeah, he needs to get sponsored.
Absolutely. I mean,
he's always rocking the dopest shades.
Yeah. What are we talking about here?
I need to get with this classic dude.
Listen to these are two intelligent young men.
I mean, I'm still waiting for some marijuana company to come grab me for their spokesperson. I mean, all day. What are we talking about?
See, there we go, man. I mean, y'all wasting talent up in here, man. Y'all wasting talent.
We could be promoting y'all shit.
Yeah, man. So, Lex Vegas, like, okay. I need to dig deep. Like, okay, so you were born into the entertainment.
Absolutely.
All right. So how did you get over it? Now, the biggest thing, some people are scared of spiders. Some people are scared of snakes. But one of the most common things that people fear is public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you realize you had a knack for public speaking, or how did you get over that if you ever was afraid of public speaking?
I was, believe it or not, a very shy kid. I was a very shy kid. And then it just, like, one day, I just said to myself, like, what makes this man better than me? What makes them a better guy? And I just got over it that quick. Mm. And then I used to, like I said, I was born into music. And by the time I became like a teenager, I was always in the studio with my cousins. They were working on an album and everything like that. My brother was managing them. I was on the road with them. Mm. I was backstage at their shows, and I took music up.
Okay.
And I started rapping and everything like that. And so with music, you know, I like to perform.
Right.
You know, so that got me on stage, and that got me used to being, you know, on stage with, you know, with everybody sitting there watching me while I got a microphone, seeing what the hell I'm going to do. Yeah. You know, so, and then I took music and I transformed that when I got into pro wrestling, because now it's the same thing. I'm just in the ring is my stage. Mm-hmm. So now I'm here and you're watching basically what I'm saying through my movements.
Okay.
You know, so and I was cool with that. And so I bring a lot of what I learned wrestling into comedy.
Mm.
You know, when I'm putting together shows, one of the things that they would tell you when you were putting, because I used to book and promote wrestling shows too while I was doing it. So they would say, you know, your first match or your opener has to be somebody that's going to kill it and has to have that energy that's going to bring the crowd up, you know, everything like that. And I brought that into comedy.
Mm.
So when I'm putting on a show and I decide who's going to open up this show,
right,
who's going to have the energy
to
get this crowd going?
Yeah.
You know, I got my host, and then this opening act or this opening match has to be a banger.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that has a lot of energy that's going to keep that. And so then they, you know, then you have your fillers, you know, people mm-hmm. who are going to keep the crowd going,
but
not necessarily, they may not
wow.
kill the show, but they're not going to, the show's not going to die either.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but there's somebody that's going to keep it going. And then your main event or your headliner mm-hmm. is the person everybody came to see.
Yep.
That's just going to, all right, we'd have been here all night and we'd have seen four or five acts or four or five matches.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now you go out and show them what you're going to do and right. why you are in the main event, why right. you're the headliner.
No, right.
And I brought all of that from wrestling to comedy.
Right, so wait a minute.
No, that's dope.
Wait, I see that and that makes a lot of sense.
100%. In everything. In boxing, and everything.
In everything.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how did you peep that, like, how did you?
It's just, you know, you, like I said, I think like a fan, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, who would I want? Like, if I'm watching this show, if I'm sitting in the audience and this show starts, who on this lineup is going to get me out of my seat mm-hmm. just like that?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm thinking, okay, and who's not going to do that? Who's going to, you know, just kind of keep the show going? Who's going to roll? And then who's going to kill it at the very end? Who can hold it down if the crowd gets tired? If the crowd has been here a long time? Who can still keep their attention? And I just, you know, you got to know these type of things. You study these type of things.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will say, like, I watch the same things over and over again, or I do the same things over again. And what I'm doing is I'm studying every little part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see what I could have did better, what I shouldn't have did,
right.
you know, what I can tone back on.
Yeah.
And so the next time I do it, it's going to be that much better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I'm trying to outdo the last thing I did.
Facts.
Everything that I do, I don't want to be the same guy next year than I am right now.
Right.
I'm not the same guy now that I was the first time I came on the Midnight mm-hmm. Paco podcast. I got a lot more going on than I did when I, and I had a lot going on then.
Yeah, you're still doing shit.
But that's it. You want to keep growing.
Right.
So what can I do better that I didn't do the first time?
Right.
And I'm sitting there studying that. People are like, oh, you're vain. I'm sitting there watching my comedy sets and I'm watching them over and over again. I got headphones on and I'm listening to myself tell jokes or whatever. And they're like, oh, you're so vain because you're watching yourself. No, what I'm doing is I'm looking to see what I could have did better.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm studying my craft. I'm studying my craft.
Yeah,
this is Lex Vegas's craft.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm studying Lex Vegas's craft. I can't be Cool C.
Yeah.
I can't be Justin Fuller.
Right.
You
right,
know, yeah. But I can be the greatest Lex Vegas you have ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing is I'm watching it and I'm watching them over and I'm studying myself. I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have moved like that. I could have delivered that better. I shouldn't have been that loud. I should have delivered that a little bit. You know, those type of things. And then the next time I go do it, it's that much better. It's that much different.
Mm-hmm.
You heard the joke before, but you didn't hear me deliver it that like
way.
I just did.
Exactly that way.
Well, I'm here to tell you, you know, your stage presence and is dope.
I try, man.
Yeah.
Dope. Like I said, people work for their money and they pay money to come see you. So give them a reason to do it again.
Well, you know what contributes to that is hosting.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And that, I will say that. I learned a lot just from hosting. I learned a lot from watching the other comics. Mm-hmm. One of the people that I learned a lot from, and I've actually taken some things from, and I've told him this, and I've given him his props, is Big Rich Green.
Shout out to Rich Green.
Rich Green is one of the greatest hosts in the city
every
right
time
now.
I host, I'll be trying to imitate Rich right. Green.
Yeah, and I've taken some things from Rich. And I've told Rich, I'm like, I got that from you. And he was like, really? And he's like, I don't do it like that. I was like, you did it like this, and I did it like this. And he's like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
But like I've seen like certain things. I'm like, I love the way he do that. Now I don't want to be Rich Green. So I love the way you do this, but let me do it my way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then I see things. I seen Justin, and Justin is sitting there and he's, you know, he's delivering his jokes and he's having so much fun. He's up there hot and motherfucking, and he's just having so much fun. Let me up my fun a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool C. He's with the crowd. He's interacting with the crowd so much. That was when I used to be so afraid to interact with the crowd. Because I used to think somebody's going to say something that was going to throw me off my game or something.
I was going
to
say, really, as a host, but I get it. Because when you're doing material, you don't want to get off of your set.
Yeah, I used to think somebody's going to throw my very first set.
Yeah.
My very first set in the middle of my set, this girl with like, I would say like some triple H's breaks a chair.
Oh.
She falls. She's laughing at one of my jokes. She leans back and the chair just explodes
oh,
in the middle of my set. And I was so lost. Yeah. I did not, because I didn't want to make fun of her.
No.
But then at the same time, I didn't want to ignore it.
Yeah.
And then,
and you want to make sure that she didn't hurt those.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But so I'm like, what do I do?
In like, them heavies.
And I was so afraid to, like, so I just, like, I can't remember what I did, but I just kind of bypassed it.
Look, I can never forget. I was very novice in my comedy career, and Big Rich was hosting. And after I did my set, I did my exit, and I was just standing there, and Rich came in and grabbed the mic. In my mind, he didn't really do it, but in my mind, he kind of mugged me, like, get off the stage. Like, yeah, that was cool. See, give it up to the cool. See, I'm standing there like, man. He was like, yeah,
in my mind, he mugged me.
He was like, no, he taught me, like, to keep it going. He said, never leave the stage empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was one of the things he did. He kept the show going. Even, I was very new. I didn't know what I was doing. I was done with my jokes, and I'm just standing there. And he sort of, like, with his body, guided me off stage, though.
Right. No, that's one thing I started, because, you know, I'm not a fan of hosting. You know, because I prefer to show up, do my set, and, you know, be out. But hosting is a big deal, and so I've been trying to learn a little bit, and I did realize you do a little bit, but it ain't about you.
It's not about you.
Try and get that crowd hype. Try and get something figured out, you know, and then like you said, keep it moving.
With a host, you got to realize that a host is responsible for the energy of the crowd.
Yeah,
right.
You know, yeah. So it doesn't matter. Like, you can, like, somebody goes up and all of a sudden they bomb and it kills the energy. Yeah. It's the host that got to bring it back.
But you don't go overboard.
You're not gonna go overboard, but you gotta get it back.
You say, you
know,
but
you gotta make sure that they know that the show ain't dead.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Now, however you're gonna do that, I've literally had comics, and this is real talk. I would say I shout out to the boy Jay Wiley. Out of Columbus. He's from Cleveland, but he's from Columbus. And we were doing the Amazon Prime taping back in May. And it was a taping, so we kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting. But we had one crowd, and they were there. We literally did three shows in one night.
Wow.
And it was a taping, so we would do like an hour show. Then we would stop, redo everything.
Ooh,
and we had to keep the crowd's energy up. And he was the headliner of the last show.
Okay.
And then right before his set, they decided to break up the monotony, and they had like this musical artist come on, and the musical artist kind of like killed the energy a little bit. Not in a bad way, but it just brought it down.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing, boom, boom. Now you get up there and you're singing this R&B, and everybody's just kind of vibing.
Mellow, yeah.
So he comes
you
up to me, and he said, listen, he's like, look, I need a favor. He's like, because this crowd, I need you to get them back.
Yeah.
He was like, whatever you do, whatever you got to do, get them back. And I went out there, and I went and I hyped it up as hard as I could, told a couple of jokes, and got them right back to, And so by the time he came out, he was able to come out and rock.
Yeah.
And that's the host job.
Yeah.
You know, now I could have said, look, it's up to you. You the headliner, bro. You could do what you,
right.
But that's not my style, and that's not helping anybody.
Nobody.
It's not helping
the show,
anybody.
Him, you know, you.
Now, it made it a better show that we were both on the same page. Like, all right, I get you. I'm gonna go out there and get you want them hype. I'm gonna get them hype.
Definitely.
And but when I introduced him and he hit the stage, we both locked eyes and he just said, "Thanks, bro.
Yeah,
thank
you. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. It's the host's job.
Success.
It's the host's job to control the energy.
Yeah,
you got to keep that energy. I'm not saying, you know, go overboard and be a host liner like we said, where you're hosting and you're doing 5 minutes in between each show and all that.
No.
You know, you gotta make sure that the crowd knows this show ain't dead. This show we got some dope comics coming up. Y'all about to keep laughing. We gonna bring it back up. Let's do it. Tell my host all the time, do not stop the show. Whatever you have to do, do not stop the show.
Yeah.
If there's an issue, come find me in between acts or whatever, but do not stop the show. That's the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and I've fallen out with some people over stopping shows.
Yeah.
When you say stopping shows, I know what you mean, but like, break it down when you say stop.
Well, like, when people, for whatever reason, people think that you're supposed to do intermissions and everything independent comedy shows.
Oh, hell no.
You don't do that. Like, this is not a major show. We're not at the Rocket Mortgage Arena yet. We're not at, you know, the Wolfstein where, you know, people are going to go and they're going to go to the concession stand and they're going to come back because they didn't pay, you know, 30. This is an independent comedy show where people, they want what they want, give it to them, and they can be gone. You know, but when you stop the show, you're killing the energy.
Yeah.
And they leave.
And they leave. People will leave.
I mean, who?
No, it's happened. Trust me.
I don't even know celebrities that do intermission. And I've been at plenty of the shows.
I've fallen out with people over doing intermissions. Like, I told my host, like, do not stop the show for any reason at all.
No.
Like, if you're stopping the show, the building better be on fire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about it.
No intermissions.
Do not, because you don't, you want to keep people's attention span is short these days. You know, one of the things that I do, and I'm going to keep it short, but one of the things I do is any show that I do, I make sure that there's food and there's alcohol.
Yep.
You know, because if you got one or the other, it sucks. You know, if you got neither, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you got people who are drinking and they have no food. So now they're worried about this show ending so they can go get something to eat.
Right.
You got people who are eating but don't got any alcohol or whatever. Right. Now they just want the show to end so they can go kick it.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to give you alcohol, I'm going to give you food. Sit your ass down. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show. That's it.
It's a one stop shop.
And we're going to do the show. We're going to start. And I don't care what time. If my shows never go past 10:30. Ever. Mm. Unless we plan on starting that. But any show, I don't care if we start late. I can say the show gonna start at 8 o'clock, and for whatever reason we don't start at 8:30. We are still done by 10:30.
Why is 10:30 the time?
Because 2 hours is enough time for people to sit and watch and you know watch a comedy show. Anytime over than that, people start to get antsy. Right. They start to get tired. They start to get bored. They start to get So you wanna know? I tell people all the time. People know if you go up to a Lex Vegas show, we are done by 10:30. Not just we're wrapping up at 10:30. Yeah, we are done. Usually at 10:30, the lights are on and we are cleaning up. You know, because I want you to come back. I want you to be happy. Like, you know, it was a show, it was dope. It was, how many times do you go to a wedding?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to one wedding and it's short. And it's to the point, and you're like, oh, the wedding was nice. And then you go to one wedding, and it drags out. And you're like, oh my God, it was.
Some church services.
Church service, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to church service and it's quick, when they get to the point and you're in and out, and you know, however much time, you're cool with that. When it drags on next week, I don't even feel like going, man. I'm just gonna watch it on TV. I didn't pray it a lot this week, so I'm gonna be cool. I'm online, you know, man. I didn't cross my fingers, you know.
To be fair,
I helped a couple old ladies across the street. I'll be all right.
I'm there at funerals and weddings, baby.
Hey, so Lex Vegas, man, what do you see for the future? Like, what do you want to happen for Lex Vegas in the future?
To just continue to open doors for myself and for my team, for the people around me, man. I'm somebody who is very happy with providing opportunities for other people. Mm-hmm. There's been times where, you know, I've had promoters and bookers from other cities and other states, and they call me and say, hey, I'm doing a show on such and such a day. Send me a comic. Send me a female. Send me a guy. Send me somebody that can, you know, we're doing like a food show or whatever. Send me some. Hey, Tim. Food.
That's not
a shout at Tim, but we all know Timbo too. It fits. So when I can provide an opportunity for somebody else, whether it's during a Las Vegas event or if it's somebody reaching out, you know, I've gotten people hosting gigs, I've gotten people, you know, gotten people on TV, you know, got people on Amazon Prime. Like if it's an opportunity that I can give to somebody, I'm gonna give it, and I'm content with that. So if I can continue to open doors, because if I'm opening doors for other people, I'm damn sure opening them up for myself.
For sure,
right.
You know, and there are certain people that when I step through that door, they're gonna step through with me,
mm-hmm.
and that's a great feeling actually.
Yeah,
you know. So and that's pretty much what I see. Like I don't put tunnel vision on. I don't want to say I want to be the best promoter. Because then that's all I'm focused on. All I'm focused on is being the best promoter. And now I'm missing opportunities that are coming because I'm looking straight ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now I'm saying I just want to be bigger and better. And more paid next year than
facts.
I am right now. That's just facts. It. Like, you know, however that happens.
Doing what I'm doing happens. Now.
You know, I never thought I would be on TV. Then all of a sudden I got a call. Hey, you want to do that? We want to send you the script. Fine.
Right.
You know, I never thought I was going to be on comedy. Now I'm, you know, going across the country with it.
Beautiful.
You know, so whatever comes, if it makes sense, I'm going.
Right.
I heard that.
That's what's up, man.
Hey, man, promote your shows that, you know, that
you got. Hold on. You need to take your shit and take it on the road, for sure.
We're working on it, man. We're working on different cities. Like I said, I've been in contact with a lot of different cities.
Yeah, reach out, find venues. And mm-hmm. the key is you need to get the word out now for a show maybe next year.
Absolutely. You know we're working on some things for next year. Like I said,
this dude.
We're actually working on a big Juneteenth event in Chicago right now.
Okay.
A big event. We're working on some things in Las Vegas. We're working on some things in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just put together an event in Philly. Nice. That I'm taking my young bulls. Shout out to Funny Money, Daryl Leggett, and Clinton James.
Shout out.
We're going up to Philly to, you know, rock the house out there. You know, we got a lot of things going in different cities. And I love Cleveland, and Cleveland will always be home, and we're always going to put on for the city. But we're definitely taking it to some other spots.
Open your own doors, man. You got to take it on. You know what I mean? That's absolutely what we're trying to do. You got
absolutely
make those moves, baby. I love it.
Yeah, we got
keep rocking. I need a shirt
tomorrow.
I need a shirt, by the way.
I'm gonna get you a shirt. I'm gonna get you a shirt, man. See, I ain't got no extra mediums,
and you be
trying to be all buff and everything. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get an extra medium. You know what I'm saying?
The medium ain't gonna
see none of this nipple sticking out.
I'm working on those.
Tomorrow, which is July the 31st, we're going to be at the JP Event Center out in Akron. We got Big Rich Green. We got Rob Coleman. We got Keith Sealy. We got Lamont 330. Timbuktu is going to be hosting that joint. We put that together. It's called It's Still a Vibe. They were supposed to be on a Hot Vibes tour at the Funny Bone. That didn't work out. So we definitely want to keep that show going. So we just moved that lineup out to Akron. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow. Friday, we have Up and Smoke. That's going to be in Lounges. That's downtown Cleveland on St. Clair Avenue. You can find all the flyers on my social medias. That starts at 8 o'clock. I got co-headliners. I got Jarrell Beeman.
Shout
and
out
I got
to Jarrell.
Elijah Nevels.
They're co-headlining.
I got Tsunami on the lineup. I got Dewan Ford.
Shout out to
Britton Grace. I got Stephanie coming from all the way from Virginia. Timbuktu is going to be hosting that joint. We got, you know, like I said, that's sponsored by Jason Wainwright and the Tire Shop. We got Next Level Caterers. They're going to be doing our catering. We got Lowe's. We got Sprinkle Confections. It's going to be a whole, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a total party up in smoke. Saturday, I'll be in East Lake at $2. I'm doing the Milton Wiley and Friends comedy show. I'm going to be featuring for headliner Chad Tate, aka
I am Chad. Yeah.
Milton's going to be on the lineup. Ray Highclack is going to be in the lineup. That's going to be at $2. That's Saturday the 2nd. The 8th, we got Unapologetic, which is at our new home, which is at Peoples. Man, shout out to Peoples. I cannot get out of here without shouting out Peoples, man. Peoples Bar and Grill on 65th and Broadway. Shout out to Sly. Shout out to Marquise, man. They've been welcoming and of the Lex Vegas brand and really behind Unapologetic. With Unapologetic, I got Comedian Q coming up from Toledo. I got Rob Coleman on the lineup. I got Dave Shelton. I got Marquand Banks is going to be hosting that joint. I got Desmond Turner. He just opened up for Tommy Davidson on the road. He's going to be on the show. We're doing that. That's the 8th. The 9th, I'm in Lorain, Ohio for the Simon Says comedy event, man. Shout out to Michelle and Sharon Simon. They're based out of Indianapolis. They travel the country putting comics on and taking them across the country. They're doing their first Ohio show. It's going to be in Lorain, Ohio. It's going to be on the 9th. Keith Sealy is hosting that.
Shout out to Keith.
The boy Funny Money is going to be on there.
Funny Money.
Clinton James is going to be on there.
Okay.
A bunch of other guys. They're bringing some of their guys from Indianapolis, and we're going to rock the house on the 9th. The 15th, we at Captivate, downtown Cleveland. Shout out to the boy Funny Money. It's his very first comedy show he's putting on, and I'm headlining that joint.
Nice.
It's the Funny Family comedy show. It's going to be me. It's going to be Smiley. It's going to be Taylor Whaler, Timbuktu, Clinton James, Ebony. Ebony Timberlake is going to be hosting. I feel like I'm missing somebody on the lineup if I did. Nami Bot's there.
Okay.
I keep saying that he's like, if it's the Funny Family, he's like our district attorney.
I got you.
You know, he's our public defender or something.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but that's the 15th. That's at Captivate. Shout out to the boy Funny Money. We got a lot going on, man.
Nice, nice.
You know, August is a real, real busy month for Lex Vegas brand, too. Man.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah,
August the
19th.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go, man. And we got a lot of other things coming up, man. So just if you follow me on social media, you'll see all the flyers, all the events and everything. Dope. Here we go.
Yo, with that being said, that was a lot.
Yeah,
that was
a lot. Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised that I remembered it all.
Hey, no, that's good. You read that shit out like you was a fly. Like you put that bitch in the paper.
It sounded like he was reading it.
Yeah,
Lex Vegas, baby. Come on, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Smarty baby.
Yeah, no.
With that being said, yo, Jay, where can they find you, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin for the Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CORE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
Where can they find you once more, Mr. Lex Vegas?
You can find me at Lex Vegas on Facebook. That's LexxVegas. You can find me at you can find me at Lex Taught Me on IG. I was trying to say IG and find me at the same time, and it ran together. All right, that's the edible kicking in. You can find me on IG at Lex Taught Me. You can find me on Twitter at LexV520. All right, you can find me tonight at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's
you can
right.
find me every Thursday on the Lex Vegas Show. That's 7 p.m. We are Stream Space, which is on all social media platforms. And you can find me at any one of these shows that I just ran off and a few more. All right.
That's what I'm talking about, everybody. Check you out next week. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.